Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is a headline from the New York Times. Abortion adds obstacle as Republicans plan to unveil health bill. Abortion flared up Wednesday as the latest hot-button issue to complicate passage of a bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, which Senate Republican leaders hope to unveil on Thursday and pass next week. They want this done by the 4th of July break, and at least the New York Times says these provisions on abortion in here, defunding Planned Parenthood and not subsidizing insurance plans that would fund abortion, they may hurt the bill's chances of passage. Joining us to talk about abortion and the GOP health care bill, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Do you agree with the New York Times headline that abortion is going to be an obstacle to this bill?
Unfortunately, it's not abortion that's going to be an obstacle. It's Senate rules that are placing some tough restrictions on what can be in the bill regarding abortion. So there are some certainly strong back and forth discussions going on. But I think what the New York Times wanted to try to do was make a big issue out of the fact that there are a couple of Republicans who don't want to defund Planned Parenthood, and they're just trying to, you know, create the controversy over that. If it was just a straight vote, get rid of Planned Parenthood and take out the abortion subsidies in Obamacare, we would have the votes in the Senate on the Republican side to pass it through the budget reconciliation process.
What do we know as of today with the Senate unveiling its version of repeal and replace with respect to abortion?
The bill that was released this morning, or at least the draft, does defund Planned Parenthood for the year for part of this budget bill. So that's good news. We knew that was going to be in there. The Senate passed it 2 years ago and the parliamentarian said you can do that. Unfortunately, we're having some struggles over the subsidies of abortion through health insurance plans because the Senate rules, which allow only 51 votes to pass this bill, also say that all language has to be germane and has to have a budgetary impact. So just saying abortion is not going to be covered under abortion or under the insurance plans doesn't affect the budget, doesn't affect the dollar amount, it's policy. So the parliamentarian has decided that that is not germane and cannot be done. So what the Senate is trying to do is figure out ways to prevent the use of tax dollars to pay for abortions and insurance plans, but they have to figure out how to do it so it has a budgetary impact. And what they're looking at is maybe moving some money into programs that already have the abortion restrictions. So the plan that came out is certainly better than Obamacare, but you know, there's still a few things that we're hoping we can kind of work on it and get some changes maybe over the next few days.
Is it realistic to see this bill actually passed by the 4th of July break?
I really don't know. I would have said maybe, except this morning then, or I guess early this afternoon, four pro-life conservative senators came out and said that unless there are some major changes to the bill, they are going to vote against it because basically they just want to repeal Obamacare completely and not try to, you know, work with the system that's already there. Now Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has to work with four, you know, usually very reliable votes for, you know, the Senate, and he's got to figure out a way to, you know, get them on board. So I saw a comment from President Trump this morning saying that it's better to get the health care bill right than to try to rush it. So maybe that, you know, will become the mode that they will just, you know, keep working on it until they can get strong support for it.
In the event, given the larger context of repeal and replace, why is defunding Planned Parenthood not only this year, but one would hope permanently? Why is it that important?
Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest abortion provider. They kill more than 300,000 unborn babies every year. While abortions are decreasing nationwide, and we are now at levels not seen since 1973, with less than a million abortions per year, the percentage of abortions that Planned Parenthood is doing is increasing, so that they now do, you know, about a third of all abortions in the country. What I think is astounding is that they get, you know, more than half a billion dollars from the federal government and various agencies, and yet they spent $734,000 in one congressional race in Georgia this week to help John Ossoff, who fortunately lost his race. So I'm not sure if they've got that kind of money to spend in campaigns, why our tax dollars are also going to them. They're an evil organization, and they shouldn't be getting our tax dollars.
And what about the more subtle and probably more difficult provision, at least as it appears in the Senate bill, of not subsidizing insurance plans that would pay for abortions? What about that one?
What I had mentioned is that they are looking at putting a lot of that money into programs that currently have Hyde Amendment language, that they can't be used for abortions, and that they would slowly phase out the money that is in the current program that can be used for abortion. They, like I said, they're trying to figure out ways that they can get through the parliamentarians' rulings that will still have a severe impact on abortion funding in insurance. It's much better than we've had for the past, you know, 7-8 years, but it still needs a little bit more work.
How do you gauge the pro-life will, so to speak, in the House and then now in the Senate?
From the senators and representatives that we work with, they are solidly pro-abortion. Solidly pro-life. They want to stop abortion. In the Senate, they're working with some strange rules. But no, I feel very confident that the Republican leadership in Washington wants to stop abortion. They want to protect babies. Sometimes maybe some other things kind of seem to take a higher priority, but I have no doubt as to where their hearts are, and they are very eager to work with pro-lifers to accomplish whatever we can.
I think you said earlier that if this was just a simple up and down on funding Planned Parenthood, it would happen. Explain that a little bit.
We have the votes. We've got 50 Republican senators in the U.S. Senate that would vote to defund Planned Parenthood. So if you only needed a majority, you'd get those 50 plus Vice President Mike Pence, in his role as President of the Senate, would be able to break the tie. So we could do that. The problem is that in the Senate, you need 60 votes to prevent a filibuster. The only reason we are talking about getting to 50 votes plus Vice President Pence on this bill is because it is a once-a-year budget reconciliation bill that has a lot of restrictions, but then only needs 51 votes. So that's why if it was just Planned Parenthood, we could do it, but you either have to put it in the budget reconciliation bill that has a lot of strict regulations, or you have to, you know, try to get 60 to prevent that filibuster.
Of course, Planned Parenthood has been really, really pushing. I was on their Twitter feed yesterday, one tweet after another. They said they went pink to defend women's health care. That's their code for keeping that money from the taxpayers flowing to them. What's your response that women's health care will be significantly damaged if they don't get that federal money?
There are almost 20 times more community health centers around the country than there are Planned Parenthood facilities. If the Planned Parenthood does not get our tax dollars, that money would be given to the community health centers that provide full, comprehensive health care service. They do mammograms and the same, you know, pap smears, and they would do the birth control like Planned Parenthood does. but they also do immunizations for kids, and they do kidney dialysis and, you know, diagnosing diseases and then treating them. They're a full comprehensive health service that is available. So Planned Parenthood doesn't need to get that money. They are not providing any service to any population, any part of this country that is not also being served by a community health center. So I just think it would be so much better for tax dollars to be going to agencies, health centers that are providing good health care, not just for the women, but for their entire family. It's, I guess, intuitive if you think about it, but Planned Parenthood actually has on their website, when they're talking about, you know, the abortion procedure, don't bring children to our facility. You know, they don't want the kids in that center because it reminds women who are there for abortions what they're doing. So why not give the tax dollars that are supposed to be used for health purposes to agencies that will treat the whole family?
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You can learn more about National Right to Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Molly Hemingway of Fox News is going to join us on the other side of the break to round off this first hour. We're going to be talking about her reaction to the FBI briefing on the shooting at a congressional baseball practice. She calls it bizarre and a case of gaslighting. We'll find out what she means after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.